When I examined the last several decades of my life, and sometimes people ask me, what was the turning point in your life? And even though there were a number of critical points, I would venture to say that the year and a half that I spent in Eretz Yisrael was the turning point in my life. I learned in a yeshiva called Itri, which still exists. And I was zocher, in the course of the year and a half that I was in Itri, to be exposed to a galaxy of Gdolei Yisrael. I remember when the Rosh Hashiva used to give a shir koli, one day a week, there was the entire Mizrach Vant of Gdolei Yisrael. Maybe some of them you may have heard of. Hagoyin Rav Shlomo Fischer Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomav. Hagoyin Rav Michal Zilber Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomav. Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Auerbach, Zechatzal Debracha. They were literally one gon after the next. Hagoyin Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomav. Wow, what a galaxy. I was a bit older than you are, 4 years older. I went after I graduated university, and perhaps that may have been a factor. But there's no question that it changed my life. Now, I want to be honest. It's not that prior to that I never learned in my life. Don't be chushed me. Before my bar mitzvah, I was zocher to learn with someone the entire Seder Moed. Seder Moed, I don't mean Mishnayos. All the Masechtas of Seder Moed. Someone was kind enough, had Rachmanis on me, and decided to learn with me. Started from the age of 9 or 10. So we went through all Seder Moed. I mean, Gemara is like Rochus, Shabbos, Erevin, Chagiga, Yuma, Sukkah, Tainus, and on and on. But that was just their Chagah. I also grew up in a home with my father, Zechen Lidracha, I mentioned it earlier. He used to learn with us, Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum. You're familiar with that? Reviewing the text of the Chumash every week, every Shabbos. My father knew the entire Targum Unkelus al Torah by heart. And he wanted us to know it by heart as well. But I'll be honest, we weren't too interested. At the age of 8, 9, 10, what do you say? You would what?
Oh, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. I learned with Suli Harp. He was in the yeshiva last year. I learned with him this summer for 2 months. Every day, he ran after me doggedly, tenaciously. And sometimes I wasn't able to learn with him. And I told him, listen, I have a bris, I'm a sandik at the hour we're supposed to be learning. Rabbi, don't worry about it. And then 5 minutes later, he'd call me again. I'm in the middle of a bris, a sandik. Don't worry about it. And then another 5 minutes later, call me again. What's up? Call Yom Kal Adam. Don't worry about it. So if I shouldn't worry about it, why is he calling me every 5 minutes? Thank you. So, that year changed my life. Year and a half, actually. I was lucky to learn in Itri four Masechtas. Why? I'll explain to you why. I didn't have a telephone. Never. Poor me. I was a real miskin, hapless, hopeless, misfit, pitiful type, wretched type. Without a telephone, how did I operate? There were two buses who traveled to Yerushalayim every day, one in the morning and one at night. Early in the morning and late at night. I had nowhere to go. Taxis didn't come to that part of the world. It was, as they say, in Yehupitz land, middle of nowhere. Talpiot, you ever heard of Talpiot? The section of Yerushalayim. Anyone heard of Talpiot? A lot of wedding halls there today. Talpiot was non-existent. There was no Talpiot. It was only this yeshiva, which is a former Jordanian army palace that the Rashida said he captured. Kibush for Kibush. He captured it. Rav Elfin Zechatzad Lidracha. And so we were more or less stuck there. So I'll give you a mashal that I'm very fond of giving. There are two discussions of Rabbi Akiva. All of you heard about Rabbi Akiva and his background. What was he? You probably know about Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
Namely, what was his background?
Kiva.
And what happened? He married someone who was quite a wealthy family. And what did his father-in-law decide? That this guy wants to sit and learn? He's obviously off his rocker. So what did he do? He disowned him? More or less. And he was out, shall we say, out to lunch, from every perspective. And he went to learn for many, many years. So now there are two gear souls. There's one Tesis Ksubis, that Tesis writes that when he came back, the great Tanner Rabbi Akiva, so his father-in-law didn't know what to do. Here's the great Tanner with thousands of Talmidim, but I have to, my daughter's married to this guy, and I disowned it. What should I do now? So there's something called a neder, and there's a room to annul the neder. So he decided, I have to annul the neder. So Tesis Ksubis writes the following. Person goes to yeshiva, stay there a little while, someone like yourself, of your caliber, of your ilk. So what happens after a while? You become a Talmid Chacham. So he said, had I known that he'd be such a Talmid Chacham like you, I wouldn't have taken the neder. And the neder is batal mevutal. Because you go to yeshiva, you learn a few years, you become a Talmid Chacham. And that's what's going to happen to all of you. There's a Ran in the Dorim. The Ran in the Dorim says something else. The Ran in the Dorim says, had I known that he would know Perek Echad V'Alocha Achas, one Perek and one Alocha, in Kitzur Shulchanor, I wouldn't have taken the neder. And the neder now was again annulled and abolished. Isn't there quite a discrepancy between Tesis Ksubis and the Ran in the Dorim? One says you become a Talmid Chacham, and the other guy says, you know one halacha. One halacha in Kitzur Shulchanor. It reminds me of the time when I was sitting in the Wadi Beis Medrash, and I go in the Baran Lichsi Zatzal, Marenu Rabbeinu, was the Rosh Kolel, the son of Rav Soloveitchik. A guy comes into the Kolel and says he wrote a Sefer, and he wants to say a Shir. So they were learning Yevomis, Perek Ha'orel, at that time. So he said he wants to say a Shia. What did he write a Sefer on? Hilchus Beis Hakiseh. The laws of the privy. You have to speak here very politically correct. You know what the privy is? They call it in Hebrew Beit Shimush. Thank you. Excellent. That's good from England. The outhouse.
Yeah.
I don't want to get more graphic, so I'll just leave it at that. I'm good with the English language, so I have a lot of ways of describing things. So, the Rosh Kollel tells him, but we're learning Yevamis, Perek Ha'orel. Doesn't exactly deal with issues having to do with Beis Hakiseh. So I said, no, I want to say a Shir on Beis Hakiseh. Okay? So he invited him to say the Shir. Avraham Lichtenstein was a topic of a person, he said the shir, and in the course of the shir, there were several prominent Rosh Yeshiva. Some of the rabbis here know some of those Rosh Yeshiva were much younger then, and they proceeded to destroy the fellow from beginning to end. He was an expert in Beis Hakiseh, except he didn't know anything else outside of Beis Hakiseh. That's not a good thing. We want you to become a veritable Talmid Chacham. You know what it says in Ramon Yerodeh? What's a Talmid Chacham? Mishi Yodeh Lisa Belite, Barom Bekomas Hashas. You're going to be able to do it. Discuss most of Shas intelligence. I have no doubt in my mind. You have that physiognomy. It's written all over your face. Anyway, so, isn't there a discrepancy between the two descriptions of Rabbi Akiva being Matan Neder, Adi, you become a master Talmid Chacham, like you're going to become, all of you in the Hashem? And the other description, you know one Allah, you know Hilal Beis Hakiseh. So I'll tell you what the answer is. When I went to Itri, when I went to the yeshiva, there was nowhere to go. No telephones. Two buses a day, one in the morning, one late at night. I wanted to go to Yerushalayim once in a while to get something to eat. Like sometimes the yeshiva, I don't mean to say Chas v'Shalom, I shouldn't hear about the yeshiva, it was an outstanding yeshiva. There were 500 guys in the yeshiva. After Mincha, there was a stampede for lunch. But there wasn't enough lunch for 500 guys. So, what do? You know what she said, Marie Antoinette. Let them eat cake. So that's what we did. We ate cake. We ordered from Breezels, the only bakery in Yerushalayim at the time. Mamish, one bakery at Meir Sharm, they're still there? Together with Uri's Pizza? I don't know. I'm sorry, Rabbi Gordon, I didn't frequent those areas too well. So, we had nothing to do, except for what? Sit and learn. So I started learning one Masechta. I finished it. I said, I'm going to go to another one. Finish that. Went to a third. And after a year and a half, finished one Masechta. Now, what's today's generation like? I'll tell you. Telephone, iPhone, smartphone, stupid phone, all the phones in the world. And you're invited every mitzvah and davishnik, every Monday and Wednesday. Someone comes to Chutz Aretz. He comes here to go to the kotel to have the upsharonish. How do you translate upsharonish? Haircutting of his cat. His cat is having an upsharonish. And you're invited to a five course meal in the Hilton Hotel. And the cat, of course, wearing a bow tie, dressed in a tuxedo. Very distinguished looking cat. Maybe goes to Halach and Kitzur Halach. And then you come in the morning, have your cup of coffee, and then you start learning 15 minutes. Rabbi, this is too much. I can't deal with this. This Baba Kama, what's this Baba Kama? Tzad HaShoveh Shebaim, what's this Tzad HaShoveh? It is boring. Oh boy. How many oxen do we have in order to gore me? How many gorings have to take place? It's not for me. I don't need this Baba Kama. But there's also a Baba Metzia and a Baba Batra. There's the first gate, the middle gate, the third gate, all kinds of gates. Maybe we'll go to another gate. You go to the second gate, it's worse than the first. You go to the third, you throw in the towel. These Babas are not for me. I know a Baba, Ali Baba, the 40 Thieves. I heard about one Baba Sally. Is he also one of the Babas? Yes. So, you go for another break, then you say, I gotta get out of here. Too much, let me see what's going on in Yerushalayim. And the year passes. And guess what you ended up with? Halavai perak echad v'alocha achas. The Rav and the Dorah. But you are going to end up with the Taste of Tzivos. Not just you, you collectively. Ainli shum sofek. Okay, so that's my introduction to this topic that I'm about to discuss. Still have some time, but chabal. Anyway. I was going to talk about one midah. Hakara satov. Hakara satov means what? Gratitude. I am Makir Tov to my yeshiva, to Yeshivat Itri. I'm also Makir Tov to Yeshiva University. I'm Makir Tov to every Rebbe I had. I was lucky to have outstanding, wonderful Rabbeim. As I said, a galaxy of Rabbanim prior to coming to Eretz Yisrael, after Eretz Yisrael, during Eretz Yisrael. And you know who my greatest Rabbeim are? You. You know that? Bring me a raya. Bring me a raya that the Talmidim are called Rabbeim.
Marcus.
What? What did it say, Marcus? Yes, it says to Mishnah also Pirkei Avos. Nikom Malamda Yiskalti. Now the problem is the word Yiskalti can be spelled in one of two ways. Anyone know that pasuk? From all my Malamda, those that I taught Yiskalti, I became wise. But Yiskalti is spelled with what letter? With a sin. A sin is like that, with a dot on the left side. But some spell with a samach. I became foolish. So it depends on the type of talmidim you have. If we had talmidim like you guys, ain't shum sofek. Mikol malamda yiskalti with a sin. Others are more the samach type. Anyway, hakara satov. The pasha bikurim, the Rishonim write. This week's pasha kisavo. You started already? Today's Tuesday. Ah, you're still holding by Abdullah from the previous day. Come on, stop. Very good. You're going to start tonight. On the Tiyul.
Yeah.
Excellent. So remind me to test you next week. Shnai Miko Vechatargo. So the Parsha Kisovo speaks about Bikurim. Hakar Satov. You come before Hashem is Barach and you say, Higarati Yeom Hashem Elokecha. You say, Shevach Vodot Hashem over the fruit. the bounty that Hashem has given you. And the Ramban writes in Chumash, and the Chinuch writes, Kimat all Rishonim write that this mitzvah says in Hakaras Hatov, showing gratitude to Hashem for that which He's given us. And I am very makir tov to my yeshiva, to my rabbeim, to my parents, of course, obviously, my father and mother probably were my main rabbeim, but I also had other rabbeim along the way who I was zochet to learn with, and there's an obligation of Hakaras Hatov. I just want to share with you a little bit about Hakaras Hatov. Things that you know, first of all, I'll mention one or two obvious things, and then I'll mention a story that I'm very fond of that I always say over. Where do you see Hakaras HaTov in Chumash? Anyone can tell us? The end of Bereishis, beginning of Shemos? Anyone remember anything about Hakaras HaTov? The Torah describes the beginning of Shemos when Moshe Rabbeinu carried out the Makos. Anyone remember who carries out the first three Makos?
Aaron.
Why? Exactly, because Moshe was Makir Tov and could not go ahead and inflict these Makos, and that's why he gave it over to Aaron. And that's a very fascinating Yisod Hakaras HaTov. I was Zochet in Eretz Yisrael. One of the things I was Zochet to, I used to go to Shir from Rav Gusman, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, once a week. There was a great Gadol HaTorah named Rabbi Gusman. He was a giant beyond belief. And I went to his Shirim, and once he told us the story, which has become very famous, that he ran away from the Nazis, or from the communists, and he actually was taught by Rav Chaim Leza. Somehow, at one point, Rav Chaim Leza, his Rebbe, he was on the bezin of Rav Chaim Leza, taught him about different types of berries that he could eat in the circumstances where he was in a pickle. That's an expression from New York. Where you're in a pickle, you're in difficulty, you have nothing to eat, and his Rebbe taught him, and he didn't know why his Rebbe was teaching him this to Klal. And then later on, he was running away from the Nazis, from the communists. He had no choice but literally to live on berries. And then, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he had a yeshiva called, still has a yeshiva, still there. Some of them actually just passed away recently. A yeshiva called Netzach Yisrael. And so he himself would water the shrubbery in the garden. I saw it myself. I couldn't believe that there was a yeshiva. One day, Dolly Ador, he's doing the work of a gardener. What in heaven's name is going on here? So here's what he tells me. When he was running away from the Nazis and the communists, he was protected by these sikhim, by these bushes. So I said, Rebbe, but not the same bushes that you have here in Yerushalayim. That's irrelevant. Hakaras HaTov. He's obligated to show gratitude to sikhim, to bushes in general, because his life was saved as a result of it. I was astounded by that answer, which I've never forgotten. And that Hakaras HaTov is even to those people who, shall we say, don't treat us necessarily in the ideal way. So I'm going to mention the story that I'm very fond of about Rav Kook Zatzal. You may have heard of Rabbi Kook, first chief rabbi in the state of Israel. He was a giant, a malach beyond belief. So when he was a rav in Europe, before he moved to Eretz Yisrael, before he met Aliyah, he spent time in the summers, I think it was on the Baltic coast, in Latvia. That was the custom of many European rabbanim. Today you have people who go to some dasha in Schweiz, Switzerland, or things of that sort. Anyway, there was a hall where they made minyanim. So one of the Gdolei Hador was there. His name was Rav Bengis, Rav Ruben Bengis. He was a giant himself. And he had yahrzeit. There were only 9 people in the hall. So they went out to look for a 10th Jew to see if they could find a minyan for Rav Ruben Bengis' yahrzeit. Meanwhile, when they went outside, there was another fellow who also apparently needed a minion. He also required a 10th person, and he had an exact minion. The person at the hall did not realize it, and he pulled one of the people from that minion in order that Benga should have 10 people for his yahrzeit. It was unintentional, because he didn't realize what was happening out there. The person who organized the minion outside stormed into the hall and started screaming at Rav Ruben Bengis, insulting him, heaping all kinds of scorn on him. And Rav Kook was right there. And Rav Kook was known for his Achas Yisrael. He loved every Jew. And he was taken aback by this guy who was screaming at the Gadol Hador. And so, he smacked him across the face. You embarrassed the Talmid Chacham? What, are you crazy? What, have you lost it? You have any marbles left to you? What in heaven's name are you doing? The person got so furious with Rav Kook. He said, I'm going to take you to a court for verbally assaulting me and for physically assaulting me. Whole commotion developed. So a lot of people asked Rav Kook to apologize, so the matter should not go any further. Let's end the fight right now. Let's not get into further contentiousness or cook refused. He said, if it was my kavod that was involved, I can apologize. But it's the kavod HaTorah of Rabbeinu, of the Gadol HaDor. For that, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not sorry I slapped him. Let the person take me to court. I don't care. That's what Kook said. A few days passed. This fellow had a change of heart. He came to Rav Kook, he apologized, he said, I'm not going to take you to court. And seemingly that was the end of the story. Many, many years later, Rav Kook came to America and was approached by this person whom he had slapped earlier in that seacoast town in Latvia. He told Rav Kook, I want to be makir tov to you. Makir tov. I want to thank you. I owe you a great debt of gratitude. He took out a gold watch. He gave it to Rav Kook. Rav Kook was astounded. What in heaven's name is this Hakaras HaTov all about? So then he explained that after Rav Kook slapped him, his life became miserable in Europe. Why? He became known as Fatu Shvachim. The Jew who yelled at Rav Bengis and the Jew who was slapped by Rav Kook. That's really great stuff. Tu Gdoli Ador that you started up with. So he had no choice, he left Europe, he came to America, no one knew him, and many years later he became a millionaire in America. So he felt, I owe Hakar Satov to Rav Kook. If not for that slap, I wouldn't have become what I became. It's an amazing story. For a slap in the face, I'm not your toe. And this is a very important yesod in life, that Hakar HaTov, even if someone seemingly does something which is not ideal for me, there's an obligation of Hakar HaTov. My father, Lashon, used to speak about this every single day. The Chavis HaBavis writes, the most fundamental of all midos is Hakar HaTov, showing gratitude. And even though perhaps I didn't realize it at the time, I was zocher to Rabbeim Gdoli Yisrael, both in the yeshiva, Yeshiva Sabbani Yisrael Chanan and Yeshiva University, and later on in Eretz Yisrael, and beyond that. But now looking back at it, I said to myself, wow, what a galaxy, what a wealth that I have. So why am I telling this to you? You have a wealth of Rabbeim in front of you. Gold. There's a lot of gold over here. Each Rebbe in this yeshiva is literally gold. And I hope in Yitz Hashem that you'll be able to mine that gold, those veins, and Yitz Hashem, when you look back, you'll also have Hakaras HaTov for the year you spent here, and hopefully a year and a half, hopefully 2 years, hopefully many years. And once you'll be Makir Tov and realize what the yeshiva gave you, and will continue to give you Yitz Hashem, Halavai L'Netzach, with that Hakaras HaTov, there's no doubt in my mind. If we are Makir Tov properly, Yibano Shem and that source will bring Mashiach to Kano. And there you go. Amen. That's a perfect.